Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 87. Today we're reading Chapter 30 of the book, I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Reverend Barnett placed a call to Cassandra on the number she had left him when she stopped by the restaurant. "Grantley, is that you?" she asked as soon as she picked up the phone. "Hello, Cassandra. This is Reverend Barnett. I take it you have not heard from Grantley yet?"
"No, not yet, Reverend Barnett," Cassandra said. "I don't know what else to do."
"I know where he is. He's right here with us. He's been with us the whole time. Forgive me for not letting you know and for causing you unnecessary worry. But he was all stressed out and needed someone to talk with, as well as get some rest."
"Oh, thank God he's all right," Cassandra said.
"When can I come and get him?"
"That's what I wanted to talk with you about. Are you somewhere private?" Reverend Barnett asked.
After reassuring Reverend Barnett that she was alone, he continued, "If you don't mind, could he spend the entire day with us? He needs some rest and a change of pace right now. He shared with us all that has taken place the past two or so days, the finding of the letters and the clothes and the conversation he overheard between you and your parents, plus the information he gathered from the internet. So he came over here to find out the truth about Grant. He was really headed for Mr. Briley's, but ended up here. I don't know if you have heard, but Mr. Briley's in the hospital. He had heart surgery. Anyway, my wife and I figured it was long past time for him to know the truth. So we told him about us being his grandparents and Grant being his father."
"Reverend Barnett, thank you so much for what you did," Cassandra said. "You know, I've felt guilty each day I go by without telling him about Grant. I keep hoping Grant will turn up, but at the same time, I don't want to get Grant Lee's hopes up. I hope you understand. Even though there was no excuse, I guess I was not trusting God enough."
"I understand," Reverend Barnett said.
"Anyway, I heard from Grant. He sent us free tickets to his game on the 20th. He sent enough tickets for you and Grant Lee and for your parents as well."
"Are you serious, Reverend Barnett?"
"Everything I just told you is the truth. He was disappointed when I told him you were getting married within a few days. So he'll understand if you can't make it. But he'd love for Grant Lee to come. And don't worry, we'll take care of him," Reverend Barnett said.
Cassandra was quiet for some seconds before quietly asking, "Reverend Barnett, has Grant said anything to you about him getting married or having a girlfriend or anything like that?"
"No, he hasn't, Cassandra. He told me he was still wearing the commitment ring and would do so until he heard from you directly."
Cassandra fell silent as she listened to Reverend Barnett. "This is his last game of the season. That's why he wanted you all to come," Reverend Barnett said. "It would mean a lot to him."
"I'll pray about it, Reverend Barnett. And if I don't make it, I will make sure Grant Lee makes it."
"Don't you worry about Grant Lee. Let him spend the day with us, and we'll bring him home along with the tickets," Reverend Barnett said.
Athaliah, who was listening in on the phone conversation, tapped her husband on the shoulder.
"You should tell her not to say anything to the Nichols about the tickets," she said. "She should be just as surprised as they are."
"One other thing, Cassandra. My wife suggests that you do not tell your parents about this conversation," Reverend Barnett said.
"Sure, Reverend Barnett, and thank you again for everything."
Cassandra let out a sigh of relief. Rather than awaken her parents, she laid in the bed thinking. Thoughts of her upcoming wedding kept colliding with her thoughts of Grant. Grantley was excited about spending the day with his dad, and he was even more excited about taking the trip to California to watch his dad play.
"Wait until my friends hear about this. Can you come meet them, Dad?"
"After Christmas, Grant Lee. Today I just want to rest and spend the day with you," Grant told his son.
"And Grant Lee," Athaliah said after showing him the tickets.
"Promise us you will not tell your mother or your grandparents that you saw your father. You can tell them how you found out who he is and get their side of the story, but do not tell them that he was here."
"I promise, Grandma," Grant Lee said.
Early the next morning, as Grant Lee and Reverend Barnett said goodbye to Athaliah, Caroline, and Grant at the airport, Grant Lee said to his father as he gave him a hug, "I'm going to keep my promise, but do you promise me you'll return after the game? You have to, because Mom's still getting married to Paul, and I don't want her to." "We'll work it out," Grant said, looking across at his father. "Remember our secret now," Athaliah reminded Grant Lee as she rang the doorbell to the Nichols residence. Cassandra answered the door. "Thank you so much, Reverend Barnett," she said as she gave Grant Lee a hug. "Grant Lee, what made you do a thing like that? You had us worried. Don't you ever pull a stunt like that again." Reverend Barnett handed Cassandra the envelope with the tickets. "Thank you for bringing him back, Reverend Barnett," said Reverend Nichols from behind Cassandra. "You're all welcome," Reverend Barnett said. "Have a good night." After Grant Lee had gone off to bed, Cassandra showed her parents the tickets. "Well, what do you think?" Reverend Barnett made it safely to California to join his wife and daughter. "No, Grant, I have not heard from Cassandra since I dropped Grant Lee off," he said over the phone. "You just focus on the game ahead of you. Just trust that God's will be done." "Okay, Dad," Grant sighed. "You know, Grant, oftentimes we lose hope and think God has forgotten all about us and our dreams and desires when he just wants us to give up and let him do what he has to do." "Kind of like Moses," Grant said. "Exactly. Moses tried to help God bring deliverance to his people by killing the Egyptian. Kind of what I did by trying to help God by hiring Jake and defying Reverend Nichols' wish," Grant said. "Right. So God brought about events where Moses had to go into hiding for 40 years thinking God had forgotten him." "Yeah, that's how I felt the past 14 years. I thought God had forgotten me," Grant said. "But after Moses humbled himself and realized that God is God all by himself and did not need any help to carry out his will, that was when God was able to use Moses to perform his original plan for the Israelites. I tell you what, Dad, like I have shared with you in the past, that letter from Mrs. Nichols was like somebody three times my size had punched me in the stomach. It hurt, but it humbled me and taught me never to try to help God. Yes, son, sometimes God has to knock us down before he can raise us up," Reverend Barnett said. "Well, these 14 years have been a humbling experience for me," Grant admitted. "Grant," Reverend Barnett said, "would you be willing to lose Cassandra to someone else without a fight, accepting it as God's will?" "It would be tough, Dad, especially after waiting this long, but yes, I would be willing to lose her if it's God's will." "Amen. That's the place God wants to get you to. That's the place he wants to get each of us to, where we do not have a will about the outcome, but that only his will be done. And strangely, once we get to that place, that's when God is able to move on our behalf." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you're a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me all my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you once again for listening, and may God bless you until next time.